Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. Had 23 in Sunday school this morning. I'd like to continue to invite everyone to come with us and study with us before our worship service each and every Sunday. We have classes for every age group. I'd like to go ahead and mention to the deacons, and if you're on the House and Ground Committee, we need to meet for just a short few minutes immediately after church, and that would be the deacons and the pastor and the House and Ground. If you're on the House and Grounds Committee, and you can, we need an item we need to discuss, please. The flower calendar is located on the wall in the hall. Please take the time to sign up to provide flowers for the sanctuary. Thursday, February the 26th at 7 p.m., standing in the gap men's meeting. Sunday, that's almost here, March the 1st, 9 a.m. will be our monthly breakfast. Wednesday, March the 4th at 6:30 p.m., fellowship meal and church conference. Then Saturday, March the 14th from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. is our closed giveaway at the church. And if you will, please bring your donated items to the church on Sunday, March the 8th. And that'll give us time to sort them and go through them and get them put out for that next Saturday. Sunday, March the 29th, will be the Lord's Supper during the morning worship service and fellowship lunch afterwards. And then Sunday, March the 29th at 6 p.m., is our worship in the original church. And one thing I did, I have these moments. When does time change? Is it in March?
It is in March.
Yeah.
So that's, we got another week at least.
I think it's the first Sunday.
I do too. I think it's,
but I'm not positive.
Yeah. We'll try to remind everybody, but y'all might want to check that too. It just came to my mind. Any other announcements? Any birthdays? Okay. As we go to our Lord in prayer this morning, we do want to remember Rebecca Gilchrist. She's been on our prayer list.
Rebecca Goodman.
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 Oh, yeah.
My bad.
She's got stage 4 cancer.
She's been on Rebecca Goodman. She has stage 4 cancer, so we want to remember her in our prayers. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day and opportunity to gather here and worship you today, Lord. Lord, we do want to lift up Miss Goodman to you today, Lord, as she battles the cancer, Lord. We just pray that you'll be with her, Lord. We'll just pray for you'll be with the caregivers and the doctors and the nurses, Lord. And just, Lord, we just pray for peace and comfort, Lord, in her life, Lord, as she goes through this. Lord, we do just take this time, Lord, to lift Brother Tim up to you today as he proclaims your word during our worship service, Lord. We pray, Lord, that everything we do in here, from our songs to our prayers to our listening and just all, Lord, that we just bring glory and honor to you, Lord. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that as we know, Lord, some weather is coming through, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that it won't be a distraction. We pray, Lord, that everyone will remain safe as we go through this, Lord. But we do thank you for the coming rain. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Carol.
We're going to start this morning with Love Lifted Me. So if you can, please stand as we sing hymn 546.
Love lifted me, love lifted me.
90. I am thine, O Lord.
Thank you. bless each and every one of them today, Lord, hear your beautiful words. Lord, let us be in heaven on this afternoon, it's just what it comes through and everything, maybe we need to be safe and everything, just keep us safe, Lord, it's all right. Lord, I just pray for one to save, one to home now, Lord, and I just ask you to be with them, maybe we can. Lord, I just wish to be able to tend to raise our message, Lord, that we have all the time to talk to shapes. And I know we take up this office, we go through you, and you need to do your will and your way. All this heavenly Father's name we pray.
Sins. There's nothing we can do to earn it. How could we even dare to try to take away what God's already done for us? Why would we even think that way? I don't know. But I'm not saying you do. I think that everybody in here probably knows the way and the truth. And, but this song touched me when I first heard it. And it's so true. Sinner saved by grace. Get all these electronics. Thank you.
That is a statement that we can all say, mean it. We are sinners saved by grace. How many of you have ever thought you had a problem? Anybody? Nobody ever has a problem, right? We are going to start a study about a man who probably more so than anybody could have said, so you think you've got problems, because he was fixing to inherit a major problem. We are going to study the man named Joshua, the son of Nun, as we know. We'll do a little background, but not too much because of time. But we know that Joshua, as we look at him, he was a great leader in his own right. He was a man of God. He trusted God, had faith in God, because if you go back and study Numbers chapters 13 and 14, we know that the nation of Israel was camped down at Kadesh Barnea. And remember way back, Moses sent 12 spies into the promised land, remember? And they spied out the land, the width, the breadth, the depth, everything about it, the people, the cities, the plants, the fields, everything about that area, because that was the land of Canaan, or the promised land, as we would call it. God had promised that to Moses, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that he was going to give them this land where he would show them one day. And so they get to the river, and Moses tells them to cross over and inspect the land. They do. They come back, and surely it is a land flowing with milk and honey. And the people, they gave a good report of the land, but 10 of them said, what? We can't take it. 12 people went. Only 2 came back and said, we can take it. Because if God is with us, we are more than able to conquer the land. But who did the majority of the people believe? Did they believe the 10 spies or the 2 people who were trusting in God? They believed the 10 spies who said, we can't do it. People too big. They're like giants. The walls, you can't get through them. And there's no way possible that we can defeat these people. As a matter of fact, we consider ourselves grasshoppers in their sight. And in their sight, we think the same thing of ourselves that they think of us, that we're just little old nothings and they're just going to step on us and squash us. Well, as we know, that led to the nation of Israel having to wander through the desert for 40 years. Remember, this 40-year judgment of God was that they would walk 1 year for every day that the 12 spies were in the land scouting it out. So that was their punishment. We know that God had told Moses at one point in time to strike the rock to give water because the people were complainers, right? They always complaining and they were thirsty. And so one place God told Moses to strike the rock. But the second time they were thirsty, God told Moses to do what? Speak to the rock. But Moses was pretty ticked off at the people, remember? And he had had enough. These were stiff-necked, rebellious bunch of people. They'd do nothing right. And Moses lost his cool, right? And Moses took the rod that God gave him, and the rod that God had worked many, many miracles with, and Moses went over to that rock, but instead of speaking to the rock, he decides that he's going to play baseball, and he's going to hit a home run. He's going to break the whole mountain down, right? He tries, and he swings, and he strikes, and he hits that rock with everything he could. But because Moses disobeyed God, you think one action doesn't change things? It does, believe me, because this is one story. Moses was faithful. Moses did things that most of us would have walked away from 1,000 times before. But Moses, God's judgment on him, even though he had been faithful in every other area, God said, listen, I'm going to let you see the promised land, but you're not going to. You're going to, matter of fact, Moses, I want you to climb this mountain because that's where you're going to die. I'd have stayed at the bottom, maybe. I wouldn't have been knowing I was going to die. But Moses goes up there, and God graciously shows him what he missed out on. It's not that Moses is not in heaven. He is, amen? But in this earthly sense, he did not receive the blessings of the promised land because of disobedience, which was the same judgment that God gave on all the older generation of 20 years and above, because they were disobedient. They wouldn't enter in. Well, in this case, Moses dishonored God in front of all the people because he did not speak to the rock as he was commanded. He wanted to do things his way. So, we know Moses goes up to the mountain. Moses died. He gathered together with his forefathers, as the Bible tells us. And the people went into mourning. Moses had been leading them now for a long time. You know, Moses was, 120 years old at this point, I think. He'd been leading them a long time. But somebody had to lead the people. God gave the nation of Israel time to mourn the passing of their leader. But here's what I've noticed as I study through Scripture, and here again, studying, reading through all the way through Leviticus chapter 20, I think it was this morning, through my daily Bible reading. Every time the people of God sit still, guess what happens? Man, this is for today too. When the people of God start sitting around, what do they start doing?
Complain.
Well, think about the nation of Israel. They're on the move. They're coming at Egypt. They get to the Red Sea. They're standing still. And what do they start doing? Complain. They're going through the wilderness. They start stopping here and there. And they start, well, they complain because we don't have, you know, melons and leeks and everything else to eat. We haven't had meat since who knows when. Where's the fish out here in the wilderness, right? We had all these delicacies, but we were still slaves back there. So let's complain about God. Well, both Moses and God had called these people stiff-necked time and time again. In other words, they were rebellious, they were hard-headed, they wanted to do just exactly what they wanted, when they wanted, and how they wanted to. So now, although Joshua has been, like I say, he's been faithful to Moses. He's been a faithful servant. He was the captain of armies, right? He led the people in battle. In all those areas, Joshua had faith. He had faith the first time they got there and said, let's go over into the promised land. He said, let's go. We can do it. Not in our power, but in God's. But the people rejected that. So now, all of a sudden, Moses is dead, and guess who God chooses to lead his people now? Joshua. But let's go ahead and read Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Let's read what it says, and then we'll go on from here. Because I want to, if we have time, I want to show us 6 obstacles today in our lives, just like Joshua faced back then, that we can look into our lives and ask, what is keeping me from doing what God wants me to do? Okay? It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I have done what? It's given. It's already yours, but you got to do it. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all, or excuse me, do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, just for who you are and from what you've already promised. Lord, we know that you never make a promise. And you have promised for those who follow you that you would never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, you've never broken a promise yet. So, Lord, we can be guaranteed you'll never break one now or in the future. Lord, as we study your word this morning, Lord, give us understanding. Lord, help us to see that it doesn't matter where we've been. It doesn't matter what we've done. It's about what we do now. And Lord, help us, lead us, and guide us to not stay where we're at, where we constantly complain and mope and grope. But Lord, that we put our faith in you and be by faith. Lord, faith is action. Help us step out in faith to do and accomplish your will for our lives. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, we look at this event in the life of Israel, in the life of Joshua. And surely if anybody could have said, so you think you've got problems, Joshua was the one. Because here again, Joshua was in a position of authority now, which God was preparing him the whole time, I believe, right? God didn't just take somebody out of nowhere and throw him up there to be a leader, just like he didn't do that with David. David had to lead sheep first, and then he led God's sheep, right? And so we realize that Joshua was a man that had been being prepared for this the entire time, but now he is faced with the realization that he is now the leader. How many of you would consider yourselves to be leaders? Anybody here? See, we don't like to admit it, but every single person here is leading somebody. If you have a job, you're leading others. If you're a parent, you're leading others. If you're a grandparent, you're leading others. If you're a co-worker, you're leading others. If you have, I know none of y'all have friends, but if you have friends, you're leading somebody. All of us are leaders, and God has called us all to be leaders in our own circle of influence that we deal with. But as I said, we come to crisis in life sometimes, and it trips us up, it sets us back, but then it's time to move on. We have to move on. But how do we do that? How do we keep from getting trapped up? Well, we find here again, there are six obstacles that can keep us from moving forward. One of them is the past, right? Some of us get stuck in the past. We get held up in the past. But God doesn't want us staying in the past. When God saved us, he wanted to change our past to our present, to our future. Amen? He did that to change us, and as we've talked about that many times through the book of Galatians. Joshua was faced with a reality that it is hard to live up to the past. It's not easy. Moses was a great leader. But now Joshua has that responsibility. Moses had been larger than life. He was beloved by the people. He was inspired leader. How could Joshua fill those shoes? You see, it's easy to get stuck in the past. Joshua could have said, well, you know, these are the same people that gave Moses a fit. What makes me think that I can lead them? I heard of a young pastor one time that had spent many years at a church, and it was finally time for him to go, and nothing bad happened or anything. It was just he felt led to go to another church. And so at the end of his last sermon, they held a dinner for him. There was one lady that was just constantly crying, elderly lady was over there, and she was just crying, and he kept noticing it. So he eats his dinner, and he goes over there and talks to her, and you know, asks her why she is so upset, and he's trying to console her, and she said, well, you're leaving us. And he said, well, you know, the next pastor might be better than me. She looked at him and started crying even more. She said, that's what they said when you came, but they were wrong. You see, it's hard to live up to the past because so many times, what the past does, because there's a lot of us that say, man, those were the good old days. But were they really good? Most of us remember the good things, but we forget all the problems we had. Amen? When we forget about how hard we had and what we had to do just to survive. And that is exactly what the nation of Israel kept doing. They were focused on what they used to have and what they used to do. And Joshua could have said, how can I keep them focused on the future instead of on their past? I thought about this morning as I came down and studied back through my notes again. Think about Lot's wife. God told Lot, you run. You run to the mountains. But don't you look back. What happens? You see, God wanted to look to the future. But old Lot's wife, she was hankering for the old times. She was hankering for the high life. She was wanting to go back to the past and live in the past. And what did God do? Turn her into a pillar of salt. You could say, well, that's figurative. Or I believe she was. You could ate from her right then, right? She was salt. But God did that as a testimony for what we are not supposed to do. We're not supposed to long for the past. We're to move forward and into the future. He could have been hung up on the past as an obstacle. But he also could have got hung up on the magnitude of the job. Think about this. God had showed Moses before and told him, even Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that all this land, wherever their foot trod, that they would inherit. Could you imagine going up on a hill or a mountain somewhere and looking as far as you can see every direction? God said, this is yours. You say, well, that's Old Testament, has nothing to do with us. What did Jesus tell us? To go into all the world and we're to share the gospel. That's our inheritance, so to speak. Wherever we go, wherever we are at, we are to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. And the Israelites and God's plan for them was for them to always be a witness for God. That mercy is the grace of God. Joshua was given the same view. And God said, here it is. Everywhere your foot treads is yours. From as far as you can go this way, as far as you can go that way, as far as you can go this way, as far as you can go that way, it's yours. All you have to do is trust and go. It's yours for the taking. Just be faithful. But here's the thing about the magnitude. Because a lot of times in our lives we think situations are too big for us. I get it, right? We do. It's you know, overwhelming at times. And we think, how God can I do this? It's easy to hesitate. We don't know if Joshua hesitated at all. It doesn't say whether he was or did or didn't. It seems as though he was rearing and ready, right? When the guy said go, he was ready to mount it and start right. But we wouldn't blame Joshua at all, would we, if he hesitated and said, well, man, this is too big for me. It's too much for me to handle. Let's look at Numbers chapter 14, verses 6 through 9. That's what this says. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of can y'all help me say it? Anyhow. Who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is what? Is with us. Do not fear them. Listen to me. If our faith and trust is in Jesus Christ, he is with us, right? He is with us. We just need to be obedient and follow through. We must not rebel against him. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, it says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. You see, sometimes the obstacles in our way is because of the magnitude of the job God wants us to do. We think it's too much, but he say, listen, if I'm with you, there's nothing too hard. Because there's nothing impossible for the Lord. There's nothing too hard for him. So we need to trust him. Walk out, step out in faith. The third obstacle can be our weaknesses. Could be our weaknesses. How many of you think you can do anything? I know some of us thought we used to think we could, amen? The older we get, we realize, we get a little wisdom, a little gray hair, and we realize, hey, I can't do what I used to do, right? But oftentimes, we do not think we can do what God calls us to do. I'm too weak, I don't know enough, I'm not rich enough, I don't have this, I don't have that, I can't do it. I just don't have the strength. Three times in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, God encourages Joshua. He says, be what? Strong and what? Courageous. Be strong. Was God saying, okay, Joshua, I want you to do this all on your own? No. He's saying, listen, be strong. Be fortified in your faith. That's why it was important for for Joshua to know the word of God, to know the laws of God, what was and what wasn't, and what he was supposed to do, what he wasn't supposed to do. I'll talk more about that in a minute. But the word courageous, the word courageous that God kept telling him over and over, this one says, courageous. Joshua's not to be strong and firm in his own strength. He was not to be weak in his own strength. He was to be courageous. In other words, he was to stand up and do what was right according to God's will, to not be afraid of people, not be afraid of problems, but to fear God and God alone. You know, now I'll be honest, I have not read through the Bible, but I have not went through and searched every time the words fear not appear. But from what I've read, other people say it's 365 times that the words fear not or do not fear appear. God, why is that? I think we have a scripture one for every day. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what's coming. Don't be afraid of the magnitude. Don't be afraid of the problems. Don't be afraid of your weaknesses. Paul said, when I am weak, then I am what? Strong. Joshua could be strong because the battle wasn't his. He knew that the battle was whose. The battle was the Lord. It wasn't his. Yes, he was the leader. God had put him in that path to be a leader, to lead the people, but it was in God's strength and his plan, his purpose, and it was in God's strength that all that would be done. Fourth obstacle is the distresses. This is what I was looking for a minute ago. The word courageous means having strength of soul and heart to do the right thing in obedience, not to human strength, or not in human strength, but in faith in God and Him alone. Courage, literally, one person put this way, to have courage means to stand up and be a man. Remember with all Western movies? Man, I wish they'd bring them back. Not some of them, but you know, the good ones. A man was a man because he stood up, he was brave in the face of battle, he was brave, he stood up, protected his family, he did what was right, he did every single time, and he did it not just for in his own strength, but he did it as a man of God. He did it because that was firm in what he believed and what he did. Stand up, be a man, not the wind, right? But we're to stand up in courage in God and our faith in Him and realize we can't do it on our own. We need God. We need His leadership. We need His word to lead us and move us forward. The problem is, for many of us, we live in fear. Now some of y'all might can correct me on this. Some people, when they get scared, they do what? They run, right? You scare them and they take off, you know, they're out of here. Some people, when they're scared, they want to fight, right? They'll punch anything in. That's why you scare them behind the door and you're going to get the door in your face, right? But then there's another aspect of fear, and there's probably more, but I'm going to stay with these three. There's another aspect of fear, and that is this. You scare somebody, and what do? They freeze. You know, I think that's probably true with many of us as believers. We're not running away. We're not fighting. But we're paralyzed in our faith. We're afraid that somebody's going to say something or not like us or make fun of us or label us or this or that or the other. So instead of doing anything, we just what? Praise God, hallelujah. We're marching to Zion, right? paralyzed by fear. But God said, listen, have courage. Be strong. When we realize that fear can paralyze us, we need to realize and have faith that God can move us. And God can accomplish His will through us. Number five, fifth obstacle can be the distractions. And I know this is probably, well, y'all have these problems. But have you ever started a project and then something comes along and knocks you off? See, the danger here, the obstacle that Joshua could be facing is that, you know, man, God, every time you do something, you show the people who you are, and, you know, you've led us by a pillar of fire by night, pillar of clouds by day, you fed us manna, you've parted these seas, you've done miracles, you've watered, you've done all these things, and yet, Lord, there could be a problem, Lord, and these distractions that come up because, as we studied through the book of Nehemiah, maybe a couple of years ago now, Nehemiah, there was always distractions. When the work of God comes up into being and people begin to stand up, move, and do what God wants them to do, guess who's going to try to distract you and discourage you? You see, Joshua needed to be prepared for the distractions that would come his way. Some of those distractions could have been in the form of people. God said, listen, you're the leader. But you know what I have often found? Many people don't want to be led. They want to lead you, right? And so that's the same thing Moses faced with the people. Joshua had been in the back of his mind, are these people really going to follow? And they gave Moses a fit, you know. And every time they turned, they were always complaining, want to do this, want to go back to Egypt. So you needed to be careful that the distractions did not take him off course. God told him, listen, Joshua, if you want to be prosperous, if you want to be successful in this endeavor that I'm giving to you, you have to keep your mind on what? Not the problems, not the distractions. You got to keep your mind on my word. You've got to learn. You've got to read it. You've got to meditate on it day and night. You can't turn from the right or to the left. You got to stay right down the middle because you're leading probably over 4 million people right now. You're leading all these people. These people are watching you. They're seeing if you are staying the path or if you're wandering off. You say, well, that doesn't matter. I said this a while ago. All of us are leaders. You might not want to be, but you are. And if you call yourself a Christian, you're more of a leader than you think you are. You might not want the position. You might try to hide your life under the basket. But that ain't the right way to live. The sixth obstacle can be the delinquencies. We've created a way around this. How many of you guys like asking for directions? Yeah, but well, we just look it up on the GPS now or Google Maps and we know where we're supposed to go. And then we get mad if we don't end up where they told us to go, right? None of us like to ask for directions, right? And if we take directions and we use those directions, we don't end up where we want to be or think we should be, then we get upset, we get aggravated, and all those other things. Here's my thought on this. Joshua, in God's command, was not to be caught being ignorant. And I know my mom always told me never use this word, but don't be stupid. Don't be ignorant. Don't be caught being ignorant. Don't be caught being stupid. Joshua, you've got to know, you are the leader, you are my leader, I placed you where you're at. And not only Joshua, if you're alive and breathing today, guess where God's placed you? Where you are. Amen? He's placed us where we are for a purpose, that a plan he has in mind. As I mentioned earlier, Joshua was not to be caught not knowing the answer. He was supposed to know God's word. And if Joshua, if God shows no partiality and is not prejudiced towards anybody, then that means that if God gave Joshua this command, who else has the command? Us. Know my word. Know my word so that you don't get off on the wrong path over here and the wrong path over here. Stay straight down the line. We do that by reading God's word, by meditating on it. Joshua was to study the word of God to know the meaning of God's word. And the more Joshua understood the word of God and the meaning of the word of God, Joshua could see God's plan and purpose in his life. And I think that's still true today. But we should not be caught being ignorant of the word of God. We should not be caught being stupid. Well, I don't know. That's what my preacher said. Don't take what I say. Take what God's word says. Amen. Take it. Learn it. Read it. Apply it to our lives. We all face obstacles in life. Every one of us. But we cannot rely on our own strength and own abilities to handle every single thing. We need to do so in faith. We do it through the Word of God, through prayer, through meditating on God's Word. But we got to be careful too, because just because there's obstacles in the path does not mean we stop. One preacher said this. He said, I find the doing of the will of God leaves me no time for disputing about his plan. Remember, every time the Israelites start complaining. When we as followers of Christ start huddling up and we start complaining and we start questioning God's purpose for us. We start questioning God's plan for us, and often that leads to complaining. It often leads to people sitting down instead of moving forward. We should never have a discussion about whether we should obey the word and will of God. Amen. We should never have a discussion on it. It should always be, this is what God's word says, this is what God's will is, now let's do it. Let's move on, move forward, and do the will of God. It's interesting that these people that Joshua was going to be leading, as I said, that he could have been filled with all these obstacles that he had in his mind. And like I say, you could probably think of more. But he could have said, listen, God, I just don't know about this. Isn't that a good plan? Remember last time, God? Remember last time you said, told us to go and they didn't go? What if they don't follow me? We need to realize that Joshua, in a real sense, represents us. We face obstacles every day. Many of those obstacles are where? In our minds. They're not reality. They're just probables or possibles. And we let those stop us from moving forward following the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing we look at here is simply this. If God does not walk out on his promises, why should we walk out on his promises to us? He says, I'll lead you, I'll guide you, I'll be with you. I'll never, ever walk away from you. In this power, you can do that. Joshua, as I was going to say a minute ago, Joshua is leading these people. He's seen them. He's seen how they acted to Moses and towards God. He saw their rebellion against God. He saw all these people die off, right? 40 years they've been wandering. Everyone 20 years of age and up are now dead, except for Joshua and Caleb. Amen? That's all the ones who are still alive at this point in time. Everyone else is gone. And so the people probably had a new appreciation for following the will of God. Amen? It sure would me. Joshua had these problems. But Joshua knew that God was in control. Whether the people followed him or not, his purpose, his intent, God's plan for him was to keep on moving forward. How about us? These people said, listen, we'll look at it tonight in the rest of chapter 1. Because Joshua calls all the people together like God tells him to. He calls all the leaders of the people together and says, listen, we're going. We're going. And the leaders of Israel tell Joshua, listen, whatever you command us to do as we serve Moses, we're going to obey you and do what God says. And anyone who doesn't, we're going to kill them, right? Now that was literally the death sentence. You obey, you live. If you don't obey, you die. Simply put, but these people were willing to follow because God had changed their minds. But it wouldn't be long after this that the people would turn away from God. They would turn away from God and do what we, many people today do. We talked about Sunday school this morning. Many people today don't want you telling them what's right or wrong, right? It's all in what you decide. What's good for you is good for you. What's bad for you is bad for you. Don't matter what somebody else thinks. It's okay for them not to like you, but you cannot not like them, right? It's messed up. But Judges, as we'll probably study after Joshua, because I don't see how you can study Joshua without studying Judges too. In the book of Judges, it tells them two different places, and the people did what was right in their own eyes. Joshua, like us, was faced with many obstacles. But I believe Joshua had a faith in God that no matter what came along, God is enough. And listen to me, I don't know what you're going through today, but God is enough. God is enough to save you from your sins. God is enough to give you new hope, new future, new life with Him. God is able to help you overcome your obstacles that you are stuck in or are facing in life. But you have to give it to God. Say, God, I can't do this in my own strength. I can't do this in my own courage. God, I need you in my life to show me where to go, how to go, when to go. Is that our hope and prayer today? We stand with me. Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, for the one who is here and maybe they do not have a relationship with you. They're lost, and Lord, they have no hope for the future. Lord, help them to know that with you, Lord, we have everything we need. Lord, our past is forgiven. It's time to move forward. Lord, lead us and guide us in that. Lord, for those of us who, Lord, maybe today we're just stuck. We're stuck not knowing where to go. We're afraid. Lord, we're fearful. Lord, we're facing all these things. And Lord, it's really a lot of doubts. And we just don't know who to go to, who to turn to. Lord, help us know that we can always turn to you for faith, for strength, for courage. Lord, to take one step at a time, one day at a time. So, Lord, I pray, God, you just speak to our hearts as you already have. Lord, help us to be obedient to you and your leadership, Lord. Thank you for loving us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.